This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. It's always a joy to be with you and to bring you some leading Christian voices that will help us in our mission of preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And I first became acquainted with tonight's guest when we met at a professional conference for people who are doing Christian broadcasting. And Sue Detweiler's ministry has grown quite a bit in the ensuing years. Sue's a wife, mother of six, author, radio host, and pastor over 25 years of experience in leadership, ministry, and education. Please help me welcome Sue Detweiler to Cradle My Heart Radio. Sue, so good to speak with you today.
It's wonderful to be here, Kim. Thanks for inviting me.
And our paths crossed recently at the 2017 National Religious Broadcasters Convention. You were there representing a new book that you've written called Women Who Move Mountains. It's a book all about prayer. And wow, I'm excited to discuss this because I think it's a missing piece in the lives of many of our listeners.
Yeah, life can be so hard, and we can go through paths where we're in pain and turmoil, and we need to know a way out.
And so as we're thinking about this, what do you see in doing your research for this book? What did you see as the primary need that women have relating to prayer?
I believe there are times for women that they may have grown up in a religious background, and so they think about prayer as something that you do when you go to church, something that you recite, things that you read, rather than a personal conversation with God. I think other women struggle with feeling like they've fallen short and don't know how to reach out to God. And healing that comes through God's presence is something that every woman needs.
And the subtitle of Women Who Move Mountains is Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. Well, a lot of women need help with those attributes in every area of our lives. So it may not be surprising that our prayers are somewhat anemic or that we just maybe don't feel confident in prayer.
Yes, and there are real mountains that we face. There are obstacles in our lives that feel immovable, and we press against them every day. And I think that promise that came from Scripture when Jesus said that if we have faith, we can speak to a mountain and it'll move into the sea, and that impossibility of some things and how God makes the impossible possible, and he does that through prayer.
Well, and one of the things I appreciate so much about this volume is that there are lots of stories of women and our need for prayer in various circumstances and situations, and you did not shy away from including the story of someone who needed prayer and needed to know how to pray after abortion. Please tell us about Marta.
Yeah, I felt led to spend some intimate time with friends. And Marta and I were out to dinner, and I was just asking her a question of how did she come to be in relationship with God. And she told me the story of that she had been abused as a little girl and hadn't told her mom about it. So kind of covered everything up through beauty and makeup and manicured hands. She was really successful in media and television, and she was living the life. At one point, she had a 14,000 square foot house with her boyfriend, a boat, a lake house, and during that time, she didn't feel like she needed anything or anyone. But when she came to know God was after her fourth abortion, and she was laying on the table in recovery, and she had an encounter with God. And she'd been raised in the church, so she knew some Bible stories. And as she opened her heart to God, she felt like God said to her, you know, there were three men in the Bible that murdered, just like you've murdered. And they were Paul and Moses, David. And what God did was engaged her in this conversation that let her know that no matter what she's done in the past, that she can have a new beginning and that she can have a relationship with him. And it really was only through him that she could find fulfillment and joy. And so there she was, laying on the abortion table, and she encountered God's presence through prayer.
And I want to pause for just a moment here because I counseled with a woman not long ago, and this comes up from time to time. I believe that what you've said is proper, that abortion is murder because it's the intentional killing of an innocent human being. That's why it's wrong, because it sheds innocent blood. It breaks the commandment. And God has not changed that commandment in the time here of the New Testament. And so as we use that word, I've had women who have had abortions jump to the verses in Revelation and elsewhere in the New Testament that says no murderer will have a part in heaven. But we know from the Transfiguration that Moses is in heaven, right?
And so I
want to give you a chance to just minister to someone who's terrified of that word because of their participation in abortion, and just really dwell for a moment on redemption and mercy of God in these cases.
Yeah. Well, the comfort really comes from God himself and from his word. And just know, you're not alone in this. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of sin is death. So I have, and everyone has, committed things that separate us from God, and we all need God. So I just want to say to you, your past is not your present, and it doesn't define your future. You can have a brand new beginning right now. And part of that new beginning has to do with repentance, which is a change of your mind and a change of your focus and changing the direction. And if you have already repented and said, God, forgive me. I didn't even know what I did, God. I'm so sorry. Just know that if you've said those words and you believed it in your heart and you've turned around and you've changed your mind and direction, God has already forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed your sin from you, and you can be a fulfillment of what he's called you to be, and because of his goodness, he can weave this redemption into your life and restore your stolen joy.
Amen. Amen. That will absolutely preach. And I really hope anyone who needed to hear that can really take it to heart. And it's an encouragement to me once more, as a person who has this in my background as well, that God has, his economy is so different than the way the world works. And it's so different than the way our hearts work. And it's a scandalous grace and mercy that he's put before us. And all we need to do is have faith that it is ours because of what Christ has accomplished. Sue Detweiler is our guest, and we're talking about her latest book, which is Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And the book includes stories of many women with many different prayer needs. And I want to stay on Marta's story for just a little bit longer, Sue, because one of the things that you've done in bringing her story forward is to relate it to the encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And I wrote about her in my book, too, because what I love about the story is that, you know, she probably was shamed. She probably was avoiding social contact by given the context of the story and given who she was and that she'd had multiple relationships with men. But Jesus talks to her about her thirst. He's not, yeah. doesn't, when he breaks into our lives, yeah. it's very seldom to bust yeah. us. I mean, he has to get harsh with some of us. but when he breaks in, it's so often to talk about, you know, the need that we're seeking to fill in wrong ways. So help us understand how this encounter, which is part of our historical heritage, this is our spiritual sister, this woman at the well. How does this relate to recovering after abortion?
Well, one thing I think of, and I'm, again, speaking to someone right now that needs to hear this, there's no second-class kids of God the Father. There's no second-class people in the kingdom. It's not like his forgiveness just forgives part of it, but go sit at the back of the bus because you won't be used in the fullness of your calling. No, that's not the case. And the woman at the well really shows that. And we know that at the time that she encounters Jesus, she's isolated. She's gone out to the well in the middle of the day when it's hot. No other woman's doing that. Going to the well is a social event for the women. That's when they're catching up on news. But there she is. She's isolated. She's alone. And Jesus encounters her, and then she engages him in a theological discussion and talks about the topic of the day, which, if you know the culture, they didn't even value women enough. They told them not to teach the scriptures, the Torah, to women. But here's Jesus engaging her heart. And not only that, that encounter where he reveals himself as a prophet and as the Messiah, she goes out to the rest of the town and becomes one of the first evangelists and effectively shares what Jesus had done in her life, so much that they all came and saw. And so you see, and this is so true. And Kim, this is part of your story. I mean, here you suffered that abortion, and now God has taken the very thing that was so painful in your life and hurt your relationship with him, and he's transformed you, and here you are. You're going out, and you're sharing with the women, and you're saying, come and see. Come and see what Jesus did for me. Well, that's what the woman at the well did. She talked about her encounter with God and how it was through that encounter that it met her deeper thirst and desire for intimacy.
Mm. And for worship. You know, he was talking, like you said, the theological conversation was about worship. And he's like, you are thirsty for something worthy of your worship, was his message to her. And, you know, when she witnessed back to the community, he told me everything I ever did. I think the rest of the the sentence is, and still loved me, right? I mean, no need to hide anymore. He already knows us.
Yeah.
He knows us so well. Sue Detweiler is our guest, and her book is Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And so of all the themes for prayer coming out of Marta's story and relating it back to the scriptures and our need for worship and our thirst, the prayer direction that you give women for this issue and in this chapter is about joy. So help us connect those dots, Sue.
Well, if you think about women that give birth to a baby, one of the things that they experience is joy, you know, the joy and fulfillment. And that loss that can happen in our lives, and for many women who have aborted, they don't feel that loss until later. Some of them feel it right away, but some of them it's later. And I think talking about joy has to do with our strength that comes from God. It's that joy that bubbles up through no matter what circumstance. And our transformation comes when we realize that God is the source of our joy And no one and no circumstance and nothing we've ever done in the past can prevent us from joy. And I'm just so thankful because joy is one of the things that will transform hearts. And I think there are some women that have suffered in their past, and it's like they are tempted to hang their head. And Jesus would like to just pick up their face like a beautiful bridegroom and say, hey, look up. You can encounter me, and you can walk in the fullness of joy. You can be confident. You don't have to be ashamed. You are my joy and my delight.
So tell us some of the helpful scriptures to be praying in this direction, and then your method, if you will. I know that you've said prayer reflects the relationship, and it has to do with a conversation. But for some for whom this is not intuitive or natural at all, if you can help us put a little structure on that in light of the helpful scriptures, I think it would be really beneficial for those who need to know.
Well, one of the things about prayer that's really important is we need to know who we're praying to. And when we study God's Word, we're getting to know God. And when we learn to know the character of God, we understand Him. And so as we think about suffering that we experience in life, and some suffering is suffering of, you know, it's not of our control. You know, it's inflicted upon us.
Sure.
And other suffering is suffering that we have chosen. But still, it's suffering. It's when we can hardly get out of bed because we don't have energy. It's the tears. It's the depression. It's the looking down. And yet, when that's what it's like when we go through something that's hard without God, but when we go through it with God. So Paul's our example here in Philippians 3, and what he talked about is that we, when we share in Christ's sufferings, that we fellowship with Him and we become more like Him. And so just knowing that Jesus is with you in the suffering. And so what I do in every other chapter of the book is I lead women on a prayer journey where they're encountering scriptures, where they're thinking about the different lies that they may have believed about God or about themselves, and where they're embracing the truth. And one of the things I found is that's what helps us turn around. We've got to know in our mind and our heart and our spirit what the truth of both who God is and who we are, and to know that no matter what we've gone through, we become more like Jesus even when we've gone through suffering.
So let's camp out for just a moment on the idea of lies that women may have believed, especially on this topic that we focus on, recovery in Christ after abortion. So one of the lies that women may believe is that, you know, God should have stopped me. If I truly was ignorant, and I believe that I was, and I was deceived and exploited and abandoned, you know, the many of these things that we don't want to admit to ourselves. And then afterwards, if we start to embrace the true condition of what everything that was going on, we say, well, where was God? How did God allow this to happen? And it can lead to believing the lie that either God doesn't care or He's not powerful or other just misconceptions. So help us with that area where women end up believing a lie.
Yeah, I think all of us do that. And all of us believe lies about ourselves, where we don't measure up, or we're not worth it, or we don't have a future, or There's all sorts of lies that go around and around in our heads. And it's one of the reasons why I love this book, and I don't think it'll be just one chapter that ends up impacting the women. It's like all of these different areas impact all of us. We've felt rejected before. You know, we've been broken. We've been bound. And all of those things have thought processes. And the enemy loves us to think the lie about ourselves, to think lies about God. And it entraps us. And there are sometimes, in fact, I don't know if you know some of the brain research that's been done, that if you rehearse over and over and over again traumatic events or things that you've done, and you just think about it and think about it and think about it, what happens is your brain registers that emotionally like it's happened again and again and again. And so taking captive our thoughts and reinforcing the truth that we're forgiven and we're free will impact our brains. And in fact, they've noticed where a brain that it's like there's thorns in your brain where the different traumatic events have fused together thoughts, feelings, emotions, smells, memories, so that things can trigger that event so that you smell a smell and all of a sudden all the feelings can come back. Well, what they've also discovered is that when you forgive and when you meditate on the word, you can dethorn your brain, where literally your brain becomes healthier as you think what God thinks about you.
Well, that's an encouraging word. That's an absolutely encouraging word. I think one of the other lies that women are really subject to just has to do with, you know, that first lie that we were talking about had to do with, as you said, the lack of knowledge about God's character, you know, that God is for us, that God created us for a purpose, that God loves us, that God has a plan for this fallen world and all of the brokenness that comes to us through it, you know, that lies about God that we have believed, I think, are so detrimental. But again, you know, lies about ourselves. Embracing the truth begins and ends with Scripture, doesn't it? And if that is so, how best to again, structure our time interacting with the Scripture. You know, sometimes we get into a groove of reading a devotional or, you know, reading a one-year plan. What's really the best, in your experience, the most beneficial way for us to be interacting with Scripture?
I believe that God leads us in our Bible study and prayer, and it probably won't be the same way every day. And he'll give us a focus of that year of study or that season of study. One of the reasons I set up the book the way I did is I have a couple of different parts. So one part is a 21-day guide to spiritual breakthrough. And it has scriptures, it has a meditation, it can be used every day in terms of the focus. I have a section there if people want to get away and take a spiritual retreat. But then I also, every other chapter is a Bible study. So this is something that if women are wanting to go deeper in this discovery of how do I pray with confidence, boldness, and grace? How do I be a woman that moves mountains? How can I be healed through prayer? I would recommend this book as a resource and a devotional guide that will help them in their study of the Word.
So we've got just about a couple minutes remaining, so I want to give you the chance to lead us in prayer, if you will, please.
God, I'm so thankful that you, Lord, forgive us of our sin, but not only that, that you restore us. And Father, I pray for all the women that, Lord, they've made a turnaround, they've made a change, and right now I pray for joy to fill their hearts, knowing how good you are. And God, I pray that you would use them to impact others with a fresh sense of the confidence and the goodness of who you are. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Sue Detweiler, thank you so much for joining us. Sue's ministry is at suedetweiler.com, and we've been talking about her latest book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. You can access all of Sue's resources at our website at cradlemyheart.org. And Sue, thank you so much for giving us your time today, being part of the program.
It was a joy. Thank you.
Now stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones and take your questions and comments at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us and for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend listening. We are glad that you are here, and we're here for you at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. Before we start into tonight's discussion, I have just a little bit of old business, and that is to award our resource, our pro-life resource from last week. We had copies of Shame Interrupted by Ed Welch, and wanted to let Melissa Shelton know that you are a winner. And Melissa contacted us via Facebook. So, Melissa, check in your private messages, and you'll see our request for your address so we can mail you the book, Shame Interrupted by Ed Welch. That's a way to get in touch with us as we're live here on Cradle My Heart Radio each Sunday night. You can message us on Facebook. At Cradle My Heart is our Facebook page. You can tweet to us. It's at Kim Cotola, K-I-M-K-E-T-O-L-A, K-E-T-O-L-A, the spelling on the last name. Or, of course, call us. That's why we're here live on the radio and interactive at 1-800-811-3003. It is a toll-free call, so give us a call and share your questions or comments as the program goes along. But I just wanted to let you know, Melissa Shelton was a winner last week. We try to put good pro-life resources in your hands so that you can be equipped to defend the case for life. It's getting more and more difficult to do it from logic just because there's so much emotion around the issue and so few people are willing to stop, set the emotions aside, and think it through together. But I think that as we do that, and as we, you and I, who are standing for defending life before birth, if we can do that in a winsome way and in a way that is intellectually honest, drawing from science and philosophy, as well as, of course, backing that up with our theology, I think that we just have so much of a better chance for connecting. And shame is one of the key dynamics that happens after abortion. So resources in that direction, I think, are also very helpful as well. So that's what we do. And tonight's resource is The Radical Cross. And this is a classic by A.W. Tozer, Living the Passion of Christ. And, you know, Tozer, when he wrote about this, said that though the cross of Christ has been beautified by the poet and the artist, the avid seeker after God is likely to find it the same savage implement of destruction it was in the days of old. The way of the cross is still the pain-racked path to spiritual power and fruitfulness. And he says, so do not seek to hide from it and do not accept an easy way. Do not allow yourself to be padded to sleep in a comfortable church, void of power and barren of fruit. And do not paint the cross nor deck it with flowers. Take it for what it is, as it is, and you will find it the rugged way to death and life. Let it slay you utterly. And this book is a wonderful exposition on that, answers all of the questions that are likely to arise around the cross and what it means for us to carry our cross. And I love the distinction he makes in this book, that Jesus didn't say we are to take up his cross daily. He said we are to take up our cross. And generally we see as we do that, and as we share the stories of doing that with one another, we see each cross is perfectly fitted for the person meant to carry it. 1-800-811-3003 if you would like a copy of A.W. Tozer's The Radical Cross. And the reason why we chose this resource this week has to, especially after following up with Sue Detweiler, and I love Sue's ministry because, wow, I learned so much from her in a brief conversation about prayer. And prayer, of course, is our secret weapon as Christians. Prayer is our primary business as Christians. And her book, Women Who Move Mountains, is a great resource. We may offer that on a future broadcast as well. But, you know, this week, every week we post stories of people who have faced an unplanned pregnancy, women who chose to give birth, and whether they decided to parent or to place that child for adoption, or women who did not make that choice, women who chose abortion and who needed to find redemption in Jesus Christ in the aftermath. But each one is a story of hope after an unplanned pregnancy. And so we post the stories on our blog at cradlemyheart.org, and then we, you know, repost those as social media, put a pleasing image with it, and draw you in to be able to share the story, because each story is so unique. And I find that all of our circumstances may be very different, but there's always something that resonates with us in all of these different stories. Well, last week we posted a story, and it had to do with an individual who had chosen abortion after her unplanned pregnancy. And the title, the headline says, God is with us even after abortion. And I'll read to you the script, because this is what the person was reaching out to me with a question about. And it says simply, choosing silence can make it almost impossible for you to approach God after abortion. Listen to Carrie's story now. Carrie was a young mom overwhelmed by the demands of her two young sons. And when she found herself pregnant again, Carrie chose abortion, thinking it would relieve the pressure and help her to be a better mom. She also chose to keep it secret, fearing judgment from her church and other family members. In the aftermath, Carrie had a hunger and thirst to be made right with God. Soon the safety of that silence became a prison for locking away the pain. Yet Carrie has learned that even though a wall of silence shrouds our hearts, leaving us feeling isolated and alone, the love of Jesus Christ can free us to live another way. God is with us. As hard as it may be to believe that after we've chosen abortion, God has never left us. He was there in the pressure to make that choice, and he was there when the choice was acted out. And so Carrie had a very deep question, saying, you know, as I read this, I'm very confused. Someone who read that blog post got in touch with me anonymously, and I'm not disclosing anything about her to you other than to let you know she had a question. And she said, you know, please help me understand. I'm new in faith, and are you telling me that if God is there and God knows all about it, that it's okay? She said, because I'm very confused. I keep reading about this man who says he's a Christian and he's an abortion doctor. And we've covered that on our 5 Fast Facts at cradlemyheart.org. And I'm not going to give him any more publicity. I'm sure you've seen the story. And this is nothing new. Clergy were recruited by the abortion industry at the very beginning of efforts to legalize it at the end of the last century. And so clergy have been trying to present a moral argument as to why Christian abortion is a thing. But of course it isn't. It's so far outside the mind of God that he would refer to it as he did in Jeremiah when talking of child sacrifice by saying, something I never thought of. Abortion is not God's idea as some remedy to ease women's suffering, which is the moral case they're making for it. Because, of course, you can't ease a person's suffering by taking the life of another person without consequences. And that's never how things work in God's economy. But I didn't spell all of that out in the blog post. And so she thought, well, is Cradle My Heart lining up with those who are making an argument for a Christian abortion? And I had to talk with her and say, absolutely not. And I had to write a clarification on the blog. I was very glad that she reached out with the question rather than just thinking that, you know, walking away and thinking that I was in error, because that would be an error. If I were to say to you that there's a moral case for Christians to choose abortion, because there isn't. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being. Therefore, it is wrong. So I clarified on the blog and I said simply that, you know, the Bible makes clear that abortion is sinful and wrong. It breaks the commandment against the shedding of innocent blood. So the post is meant to help those who are struggling to accept the merciful love of Jesus Christ in the aftermath of abortion. And to say to that person that God is with us and that God never left us, even in that choice, in no way condones the choice. Now, does that make sense? Or would you put that a different way, especially to someone struggling after abortion? Maybe the problem is the way that I'm wording it. I would love to hear your thoughts. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And our resource tonight is The Radical Cross by A.W. Tozer. You see, I think the more that all of us or each of us can understand the cross, the more that then we can convey this to others. We can impart it. We can share that wisdom in a way that's, you know, that's efficacious for them, that makes a difference in their lives. Then when they hear it, they'll say, ah, and the truth will dawn and set them free from error. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you know, you'll know the truth and it will set you free. It will set you free from wrong thinking, which is what holds us back spiritually. And, you know, believing lies, the errors and lies are the things that harm us in our minds. So tell me how you would explain that to someone. This paradox that Christ is with us. As it says in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? And so if God is for us and God is with us and Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, does that mean that God accepts sin and condones it? Now, you've heard my answer that no, it does not. But how do you convey that to someone who's new in faith and open to the idea? You know, it's a very different thing if you're arguing with someone who says, I'm an atheist, I don't want to believe, or I cannot believe, or I don't believe. But if someone comes to you with a sincere question along this line, I'd be very much just very appreciative to hear how you would flesh that out. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. It's 1-800-811-3003. And the reason I chose Tozer and the Radical Cross is because this is where things began to really make sense to me, at the foot of the cross. I mean, I had such a very long period of attrition where I was convicted of sin, but I hadn't fully repented. And it was a very long period. It was 10 years or more after I became a Christian, which was in my adulthood, you know, in my late 30s. So for years, I knew that not only was the abortion wrong, but so many things, the condition of my heart was wrong. But I kept thinking that I had somehow to make it right. And of course, we can't do that, so I could never find the way to accomplish that. It was a very frustrating period for me. I never lost faith as a result of it, but I can see how some people might, from that misunderstanding, from their lack of apprehension, or maybe, you know, a lack of good teaching. But when Christ unveiled himself on the cross to me and showed me that there's nothing I can do to make it right, he's done everything to make it right. And he didn't do it in order to punish me or to smite me. He took my punishment upon himself. And, you know, when he unveils that sacrifice for you personally, it really demands an answer, doesn't it? To receive love like that really demands our love in return. It's the beauty and the miracle of the cross. So we'll take a short break and give you a chance to get to the phone. Tell us how you would flesh that out for someone to say that God's mercy does not mean that he condones sin. How would you help a new believer understand that? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Chance to win The Radical Cross by A.W. Tozer from Cradle My Heart.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
That's our number, and our pro-life resource tonight is The Radical Cross by A.W. Tozer, Living the Passion of Christ. Tozer was a theologian, an anointed speaker and writer, and his spiritual insights and powerful use of words earned him the reputation as a modern-day prophet. He pastored Southside Alliance Church in Chicago, and he passed in the 1960s, early 1960s. He wrote The Pursuit of God, The Attributes of God, and The Radical Cross. And we have a copy of The Radical Cross for our first caller with a question or comment tonight. And how would you talk about the cross to someone after they were broken by sin? You know, one of the things that I think is really important is to look at the character of Christ. At God's character, not just the character of Christ, but God's character throughout the whole of Scripture. And the verse, I think, that so reassures me that God is an ever-present present in our lives. He's an ever-present God. Are these words from Isaiah 63:9, which says, you know, in all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. You know, in all of their afflictions, some say, you know, and a lot of the afflictions that are spoken of there have to do with self-inflicted punishment and harms because of not following God's way and God's law. And it happens for us so many times and in so many ways. But abortion, I think, presents special challenges for people recovering after that particular sin. Because it is a sin. It takes a life. It sheds innocent blood. That's a sin. God said we are not allowed to do that. And you know, the next thing that God would say after these commandments, that it may go well with you. Don't shed innocent blood, and you will be happy. Don't lie and you will be happy. Don't steal. Don't take what is not yours and you will have a good life. You know, God's not just interested in just, you know, writing do not all over everything and prohibiting. He's guiding us into how to build the good life from his perspective, the good life. 1-800-811-3003. And so, it may be difficult to think that God was with you while you were choosing to sin. It may be very difficult to take that in. And maybe you don't agree and you want to take that on and say, Kim, here's a better way to say it, which is maybe not as, you know, maybe I'm lending to some confusion there. Please share your thoughts at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. Part of why I believe that God is present, even in grievous sin, is that this is what allows him to know the particular custom, personal way of redemption for each one of us. He knows not only our actions, but he knows our motives and our hearts and the things inside of us that remain hidden even to us when we're going about that business of sinning. He's not surprised. He must therefore know it. He must therefore have some form of presence in it. And to me, that does not slander God. That doesn't mean that he, you know, is pleased with it. It doesn't mean that he, quote unquote, allows it. What he allows is for us to make our choices because he wants people to be able to choose him. He doesn't want robots. But it doesn't mean that he chooses it for us simply because he is aware of it. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. I'm smiling because it's kind of a complicated question. I grant you that, but I would love to hear your thoughts. Send us a private message on Facebook at Cradle My Heart is our Facebook page, or you can post to the page too. That's a way to do it. Or go to cradlemyheart.org and shoot us a quick email, if you will. Or you can tweet to us at Kim Catola or call us at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. The most important thing for me is that you would understand that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. That you would understand that God does not hate you if you chose abortion. And that you would understand that God is not angry with you, nor waiting to punish you. It isn't that I'm encouraging you to repent and confess so that then God can say, yep, I knew you were going to say that, and now you're going to have to pay the price. No, because why? Because Jesus has already taken on the punishment for us. The repentance is a sign that we value what he has done for us. That repentance is a sign that we now agree with what has been done for us and that we receive and accept our need for his having to have done it for us, if you will. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And we have a caller who didn't wish to go on the air, but Maria says, listening in Connecticut on the live stream, says, God is there with us because he hates the sin, but not the sinner. And I think that's a good way to say it, Maria. You know, I've heard people object to that. But I think that that's a simple way of saying a very complex doctrine that, you know, God is for people, and sin entered into the world through people, but God remembers that we are dust. He knows our weakness, and he does not despise our weakness. This is one of the things that was so difficult for me to grasp. Maria, thank you for that. If you'll stay on the line off the air with our call screener and provide your address, we'll get you a copy of The Radical Cross. Thank you for that comment. God stays with us because he loves us despite what we may be doing. I think Maria's got that exactly right. God is present with us because he loves us. And, you know, for me, there can be so much self-loathing after sin, especially after a grievous sin, especially after a sin that has grief attached to it, not grievous, but grief attached to it because another human life has been lost. There can be so much self-loathing as a result. And it becomes very difficult as a result of that self-loathing to accept that God loves us no matter what in an unconditional way. And that his specialty is in restoring us in our brokenness and redeeming what has been taken and what has been lost when sin has occurred. You know, that Bible verse that says, God will restore the years the locust ate. Who but God can restore time? But he does this for us. He redeems every single aspect of sin, and not just abortion, but every sin. And if you take nothing else away from my musings tonight, I really hope that if that's a new concept for you, as it was for this reader on Facebook who got in touch with us at the ministry this week, that you would really begin to understand it and believe it and to incorporate it in a way that you can say, this is mine. This is my truth from the heart of God in his word, that he loves me, that he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me, no matter what I do or where I've been. And, you know, the thing is, too, he also says, by the grace of God, Paul said, you know, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I'm not who I was. And this is what is so beautiful, is how God, you know, what even if we intended it for evil with a very hard or cold heart, God meant it for good. That's a paradox we will never understand in our limited human intelligence, but the Holy Spirit can open the eyes of our hearts to know it and to claim it for our own. And I pray that you will start to see that that is God's plan for you after abortion, to bring something beautiful from it. I can't tell you exactly how, I can't tell you when, but I know with all of my heart that that's who God is and that that's how God sees you. Thank you so much for giving us your time tonight. We really appreciate you. Please go to cradlemyheart.org and learn about a new initiative that we have to take those daily one-minute radio programs, which are now airing on over 800 stations around the country, and turn them into a video ministry where we can reach the next generation where they are seeking information about unplanned pregnancy on YouTube and Facebook and even in some broadcast opportunities as well. We'd love to have you partner with us, and you can find out how to do that at our website at cradlemyheart.org. Thanks for being with us.